الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد الحمد لله Allah Ta'ala has given us another opportunity to come to the masjid to gather together to take his name and in particular today take also name and focus on and the purpose of this gathering is to fulfill some of the rights that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has upon us. This, what we will do inshallah is first inshallah have a mudhakara. A mudhakara means that we're just reminding one another. It's not a speech, it's not a bayan, because I'm not a lecturer or anything of the sort, but rather it's just a reminder for us, because Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that remind for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. So it doesn't matter what it's about. Sometimes people want something of it. Somebody asked, La ilaha illallah, I don't remember the name of the Shaykh now, it's left my mind, but he asked him, he said that, Shaykh, what you said in your speech today, I've heard it all before. It's nothing new, I've heard this all before. So he said, okay. He said, he spoke about something. He said, okay, what about the sky? Is the sky that you see above you, is it a new sky? He goes, no. What about the earth? Is it a new earth? What about the landmarks that you go to visit? Are they new landmarks? No. So the point that he made was, is the things we have to do are very, very simple. They're very straightforward. However, and the deen is very, very easy. So it's one of the things that shaitan does is he tries to make it complicated. But then, as human beings, then we do, over time, we do need a nudge. We are weak, we are forgetful. Which is why the Qur'an al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala, keeps on giving the same message in different ways. If you look at the overarching theme of the Qur'an al-Kareem, it's very, very straightforward. And these aren't my words. The Mona, some of Mona Ahmed Lahoy rahimahullah, who was a big mufassir of the Quran al-Kareem. So these are people who have dedicated their lives to studying the Quran al-Kareem and its nuances, whether that be from lexical in terms of the terminology and the words of the Quran al-Kareem, to its style, to its prose, to its meaning, to its shan and nuzul. Where was it revealed? When was it revealed? Who was it revealed to? What ahkam and rulings came as a result of those ayats being revealed, and how did it change the qira'at, so on and so forth. The Quran is an ocean in and of itself. Those that studied their whole lives, they said that if I was about to step on a train and you were to ask me, give me a quick summary of the Quran al-Kareem, I would be able to give it to you. And I'd say that the Quran has three overarching messages and themes. Number one, don't disobey that the Tawheed, the first thing, that you believe in Allah Ta'ala, make Allah Ta'ala happy by worshipping Him, and make Him happy by following His Messenger, i.e. make the Messenger happy by following Him, fulfilling His right. And the third thing is that serve the creation of Allah Ta'ala by making him happy, essentially, by worshipping Him, Tawheed, oneness of Him, and by obeying His Messenger, and by serving His creation, to the khidmat of the makhluk. Because this is in its entirety what the Quran al-Kareem is. And if you look at it from that perspective, really, where it comes, where the rights of the parents come, that's serving the makhluk. Where it comes to many of the sins that committed, they're either transgressing the laws Allah Ta'ala has placed for Himself, that He's put on insan, or it's with regards to the rights of other people. So, subhanAllah, it's very, but Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, we have made the message, we keep on explaining in different ways. Why? وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا لَهُمُ الْقَوْلَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ That, or أَوْ يُحْدِثُ لَهُمْ ذِكْرًا, another ayat, that we've done this, the message keeps on being diversified, so that, you know, eventually, that someone understands. And kisi ko baat samme aa jaye, that sometimes people need things to explain in a different light. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy that He explains the same thing over and over again in different ways, that perhaps they may take less, and perhaps it might open their eyes to the reality, and perhaps they might start treading on the right path. So that is His mercy and His karam. Not even, I mean, we talk about, alhamdulillah, as not only human beings, but ummati of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We take a step back, Banu Israel, yeah, who are even today, and from the start, they've been committing extreme atrocities, and they've been very, very disrespectful to Allah Ta'ala and His Sha'air, as generally, there's always good people in every qawm. But Banu Israel generally are those who Allah Ta'ala says, we gave you everything. فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ I preferred you, I gave you preference to the entire universe. I gave you those things that I never gave to anyone else before. So many prophets came, But what did you do? You turned around and you killed, in one tafsir it's mentioned, one day 70 prophets. One day 70 prophets. What wrong has a prophet, what wrong has anyone that said La ilaha illallah done? Not to mind a prophet of Allah. So this was one example of their baghawat and their transgression. Yet Allah Ta'ala again in the Quran, look at how many ayats start with Ya Bani Israel. Ya Bani Israel, قَدَ أَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ عَدُوِّكُمْ Ya Bani Israel, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْكُمْ O Bani Israel, remember when this happened, remember when we did this, remember when we gave you a second chance, remember ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ You took the calf to worship, and we still forgave you. You committed shirk, we still forgave you. We gave you this chance after chance. And then, Ya Bani Israel, what's in your book? You know, you recognize the Prophet ﷺ, كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ Like you recognize your own children, and those of the Banu Israel who Allah Ta'ala blessed with Iman, those scholars of Banu Israel, like Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, they say that when we saw the Prophet ﷺ, our recognition for him was greater than our recognition for our own children. You do say, you know, this is my son. But they say from even before, when you just heard one quality of his, we said, this is the one. The land is the promised land. The time is the promised time. All the conditions are met. He's got everything. His history is what the history of the noble final prophet would be. But it was just that. What was it? All those spiritual diseases. Hasad. Or it was that sort of thinking, ananiyat they call it. Me, the me syndrome. That I am something. You're nothing. Before Allah Ta'ala, you are nothing. If you do everything right, but Allah Ta'ala's fadl isn't upon you, then you're destroyed, you're doomed. And if you do everything wrong, but Allah Ta'ala's fadl is there, then at the end of your life, then something can change. Last week we were studying we came across one of our scholars was mentioning about the importance of studying inheritance to students. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, and I'll just relay it here for the benefit of everyone here, because these are things that we don't get the opportunity to hear. So it's since we've all gathered for that purpose, the Prophet ﷺ said that there'll be some people in my ummah who will have spent the Prophet ﷺ's words were, who have spent 60 years doing ibadat, ita'at. They will have been righteous for 60 years of their life. Meaning, the average age of the ummah is between 60 and 70, i.e. their whole life still have been on the right path. They have been doing the right things and so on and so forth. However, when it comes to the end of their life and the distribution of their inheritance, then due to not taking care of the limits and the conditions and the shares that are portioned by the Sharia, they will be doomed forever into the fire of Jahannam. So this is something which is extremely, extremely important. So it's Allah Ta'ala's fadl that someone in his whole life, he does something, at the end Allah Ta'ala just turns upon him and turns to him in tawbah, and somebody else, 10,000 years worships, and then he becomes mu'allimul malakut in the heavens, but then he says, I'm not going to prostrate to Adam, and Allah Ta'ala says, then go, get out of here. So, khair, the point is that la ilaha illallah, that it is Allah Ta'ala's fadl, but yet, So Allah Ta'ala had made it very clear to Banu Israel, and he keeps on reminding them in all these ways, you know deep inside what's the truth, so that again, despite all they've done, he gives them all these chances. So alhamdulillah, the deen of Allah Ta'ala is very simple. However, as I say, the insan, his name, insan, comes from nasi, from nisyan, which means to forget. So therefore, the reminder is beneficial. However, what we try and do is we also focus on what is relevant, because that's what gives the most benefit. And Allah Ta'ala has a system. He has a system of giving. So if you act in accordance with the system, then you're going to be well off. You've got a good prognosis going forwards. And if you try and you make great efforts, but you don't act in accordance to his system, then your efforts won't bear productive, fruitful results. And worst case scenario, you might even go backwards. Somebody makes all the effort in the world that I am going to perform Hajj, I'm going to travel, I'm going to go on Hajj. But he takes the wrong plane. Doesn't matter what he does. If all his preparations correct, if he's going the wrong direction, then he's not going to arrive at the destination where he's trying to go. So Allah Ta'ala has a takwini and a tashri'i nizam. So for example, in the universe, he's got his, what we call Mother Nature, the natural laws. If you act in accordance to them, then you will enjoy prosperity in that regard. So for example, if you are obviously bound by circumstances, some people are compelled to work night shifts. Okay, so they sleep during the day, they rest during the day, and they have to work during the nights. Now, despite the fact that they'll do what they can to make up for the rest in the night, it doesn't matter how many hours they sleep during the day. Allah Ta'ala's nizam is that the day, nature's alignment is, and its calibration is that the daytime is for earning and the nighttime is for rest. So even if it's by majburi, if somebody goes against that law of nature, it will have an effect on his health. Over time, the studies on, for example, people in the healthcare profession who have to do night shifts is that their health does suffer. A lot of disease illnesses come much early on, and the only thing they can do is only meditate them a little bit if they take care of their health. But at night time, there's all these things, those who are interested and they know. In the night time, there are certain hormones that are released that help with recuperation and getting energy again, re-energizing in the night and resting, which you don't get during the day. So Allah Ta'ala has that nizam. But similarly, He has His tashri'i nizam, the system that He's created for getting close to Him. The system that He's created for hidayat, the system He's created for being sa'id and being successful and being fortunate in this world and in the hereafter, and the system for a person, if he's not following that, to be destroyed. So His system of hidayat, His system of being, first hidayat is first and foremost guidance, and then after guidance, to be close to Him and to be loved by Him, He announces in the Qur'an al-Kareem Himself, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. O Nabi, say to the people, if you love Allah, if you truly love Allah, then follow my way and Allah Ta'ala will love you. But to enter into Allah, to become mahbub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we realize that it is only in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another ayat Allah Ta'ala says that His measurement of between you isn't by whatever you may have, whatever you may measure each other by dunyawi status, by wealth, by whatever else, by commodities and whatever else you have. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at these things. Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. In the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, the most noble and the best of you are the ones who have most taqwa. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that I have the greatest taqwa amongst you, and I don't say this out of showing off, but it is a haqiqat. So if following the way of the Prophet ﷺ means you attain the most taqwa and then you become the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the nizam that I'm trying to get, the point that's being made is that the Prophet ﷺ said that إِنَّمَا أَنَا الْقَاسِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُعْتِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that Allah Ta'ala, I am the only the one who distributes, I give out, and Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. So this hadith refers to, again, both things. So for example, when it came to dunyawi things like mali ghanimat, when wealth was acquired during war, the Prophet ﷺ would be the one who would distribute the portions to whoever whoever Allah Ta'ala inspired him to share it with. But also, if anybody wants to be Allah Ta'ala's, then he has to go through the Prophet ﷺ. Allah Ta'ala's system is that He gives to the makhluk through the Prophet ﷺ. So therefore, this gathering, the main purpose of this is, in half an hour you won't learn the deen in completion. This is just to remind us of the direction, to get the direction straight again. The things we require, if we want to be successful in every sense in this world and in the next, attain the barakah, the bliss of this world and in the next, is that we need three things. The first thing we need is ilm, is knowledge. Okay, is we need to know what to know. Then the next thing is amal. It's very straightforward. The next thing is acting upon that. And the third thing is ikhlas, sincerity in that. If these three things are combined, then a person has all he needs for a blueprint to live a simple life. To be beloved to Allah Ta'ala doesn't require you to be a scholar. Being a scholar has its fadila, it has its virtue. Being a mujahid has its virtues, no doubt. But to be an Allah wala, to be a pious person, righteous person, to be atqa, we said the most muttaqi, doesn't require any of these things. These things help. But actually, taqwa is related to a person's action, his amal, how he spends his 24 life, and how much his life is in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is actually very, very easy. And the reason for that is, Aisha radiallahu anha says, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given two options between two things that were both permissible, he would always choose the more easier and convenient route. So subhanAllah, in terms of our dunya, it's a lot of ease. And following the sunnah, there's, you know, you wouldn't believe it. You can't start to imagine how simple it is when a person starts to bring and implement the sunnah in his life. Everything is just so straightforward. And there's no takalluf where it's not required. And where there is, you know, a bit of effort required, then you'll see an effort being made. So, you know, subhanAllah, and a very clear example, because of the shortage of time, I think that nobody needs an explanation for, is with our you know, Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us, is with regards to our marriages. How far away from the Sunnah the marriages and the whole process has become. It's not the time and it's not the point. But subhanAllah, if you look at the Sunnah, I think with Jabir radiallahu anhu, who was sitting in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had a stain on his clothes. And this stain was from applying perfume. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it, he understood why it was there. So he asked the Sahabi, Jabir radiallahu anhu, if I remember correctly, that did you perform nikah? So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So think about it for a second. This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Jabir radiallahu anhu was also a very, very beloved, if it was him, if I remember correctly. He was a very beloved Sahabi to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was one of the lardly, one of the young kids who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked after from a younger age, because his father was shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had as our Mawlana Sayyidina Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Qadha explained, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a small group of nojawans, a small group of youth. This was his young team, if you will. And Jabir radiallahu anhu was from amongst them. So let's go back to the situation. He doesn't know that the Prophet doesn't know that he's had his nikah done, and he's only found out through noticing the stain on his clothes. So what does the Prophet say? Does he ask, "Ya Jabir, yame bataye ni, what's this all about?" And did he express his disappointment or any sort of sadness? No. The Prophet said that he made dua for him, and he said that, "Was it Jabir? Did you marry someone young? Was she a virgin? Was she young, or was it a thayyib? Was it someone who had previously been married from before?" So he replied, as a young man, he said, it was a thayyib, Ya Rasulullah. It was someone older who was already married from before, a widow. So the Prophet ﷺ asked, "And why did you not marry someone younger, that in your youth, that you know, you would have been more pleasing for you?" So he said that, "Ya Rasulullah, it's because I have so many sisters to take care for. I'm the only brother, so I can't bring another sister into the house. So I need somebody who can take care of them and kind of nurture them and look after them. That's why, Ya Rasulullah." So here we learn that the Sunnah is very, very straightforward. The Prophet ﷺ, there was walima, these things took place, but they were so straightforward, so simple. The biggest walima the Prophet ﷺ had was where a goat was slaughtered for Zainab radiallahu anha, if I remember correctly. Otherwise, some of the walimas were so simple that it was a case of the Sahaba came and whatever they had, they brought with them. Dates, butter, and these things were put out on the dasturkhan, and mashallah, everyone ate. So we're not expecting that we can reach that standard. That's a very, very high standard. But at the very, very least, all these sins that are done, and all this excessiveness that is done, it does nothing. It does nothing but bring difficulty upon us ourselves. And we see that in the couple afterwards, I don't think we should go into the details. The point is, the sunnah is very easy, and through following the sunnah, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is gained. And Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is also very easy to gain. So we should make an effort, inshallah, that we mentioned last week, over the past few weeks, that we fix a portion of Salat and Salam and Durushi upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that our connection with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is always there. It's always building. And so that when the Day of Judgment comes, that he recognizes us, because Hamara Ana Jana, we kept our connection with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was the point from the past couple of weeks. But since we touched upon the Sunnah today, we should also make up an effort and a plan to try and implement at least, whatever number, 3 sunnahs a week or something along those lines. And there's various books. I'll mention one, Uswai Hasana, written by Dr. Fida Rahimullah, and there's many others as well, which are a compilation of sunnahs. I think I mentioned this before. A compilation of sunnahs from morning to evening, 24 hours a day. How the Prophet ﷺ, everything about him, starts with the basic sort of things, which we know very well, and then goes on to his ibadat. How was he? What are the sunnahs of tahara? Starting from there, the sunnahs of salah, the sunnahs of zakat, and sunnahs of hajj and umrah, and all these things, the ibadat. And then there's mentioned the sunnahs of your libas and your appearance and your maintenance. And then thereafter, the sunnahs of how to even spend your time at home. The Prophet ﷺ would split his time into 3 portions: one for his for worship, one for his family, which included sort of light chat with the family, and the third was for himself, which he would dedicate to his own needs and requirements. And often that time he'd also give to the ummah as well, through his selflessness. But even there you see structure and management, how he slept, how he ate, everything is subhanAllah in that book, mashallah. And what a possible suggested method by which you can bring the sunnah that we spoke about at the start into your life is that Allah Ta'ala has a system that when you do one good deed, then doing the next good deed becomes easy. Yeah, law of attraction. When you do one good deed, the next good deed becomes easy to do. And when you do one sin, then also doing the next sin becomes very easy. This is why it's mentioned in hadith, that when a believer, a mu'min, when he commits a sin, then he does not feel peace and contentment until he doesn't cry before Allah Ta'ala and do abundant istighfar and tawbah. Only then does he finally feel at ease and relaxed again. Uske bagair koi chara, he doesn't feel any, he can't rest until he hasn't done tawbah to Allah Ta'ala from committing sins. And a fajir, a fasiq, a habitual sinner, whenever he commits a sin, then for him the sin is similar to a fly which would have just come and sat on his body and he just swats it away with his hand. It has no bearing on him. Whereas the believer, it feels like a mountain's been placed on his shoulders. So this is what happens. These things, they carry on forwards. But the point was, when you do a good deed, doing the next good deed becomes easy. So, subhanAllah, from the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, there will be some things that you're already doing, or that are at your fingertips. If you just knew about them, you could immediately start doing them from today. So, what our teachers taught us is that if you try to implement the easiest ones, make a list of the easiest ones, and just implement them into your life. And make a category. Once you've done all the easy ones, move on to ones that you find a little bit more difficult. And categorically go up, and without realizing it, you know, people that run marathons, they don't just run marathons out of nowhere. They start by learning, you know, first start by walking, then increasing the pace, then jogging, and doing losing weight, whatever it is, to get there. And Allah Ta'ala has created that same very natural system here as well, that without realizing it, those things that you find very, very hard, will become extremely easy. And there's, as I say, much, much barakah in this. We touched on one point today. There's other barakat as well, following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where we know about, I'll give you one final example. Because our actions are very, very shallow. But, you know, when you're in an exam, if somebody, not saying that anybody should do this, if somebody's in an exam and he copies someone else's answers and his answers are correct, then the examiner, if he doesn't get caught, then the examiner knows no better. If he's seen the right answers, then bless, it's fine, it's perfect. So Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have the perfect model, in the Quran Kareem Allah Ta'ala says, you have the perfect model on how to live your life through the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you do that naql, then subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala will have his turn to you in his mercy. And there's an example of this. We know very famously, very well, about the story of Musa Alayhi Salaam and the magicians. Yeah, when Musa Alayhi Salaam, when Fir'aun brought all the magicians to challenge Musa Alayhi Salaam, then we know that once they saw that Musa Alayhi Salaam, we have a rope, he's got a rope. We throw our rope, it's one thing, he throws a rope and it becomes a snake. It's an actual snake. So they knew very well that ours is just deception. يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ. So when they saw that this is a real snake, they knew that this is the haq, this is haqiqat. So they knew better than anyone else. And they all, that moment, أُلْقِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ, they fell in prostration to Allah Ta'ala, straight away. And they were ready to die for that iman. Whenever Fir'aun said that, you know, if this is what you're going to do, then I'm going to cut your arms off. I'm going to cut you off limb by limb. And you're going to find out who can punish really severely if you're so scared of this new God of yours. So they said that, we don't care. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever you do is only going to be restricted to the life of the world, the dunyawi life. And the reality is, whoever goes to Allah Ta'ala having done good deeds, then he is going to enjoy eternal jannat. But here the scholars mentioned that Allah Ta'ala turned in mercy to the magicians, although they'd come to challenge a Nabi of Allah, because they were dressed similar to Musa alayhi salam. Because simply because of adorning this and having a similar resemblance to and resembling Musa alayhi salam, that was one of the reasons why Allah Ta'ala had mercy, and subhanAllah, they were all guided that point, and they all, mashallah, attained the falah and success of the eternal life and abode. So this is another reason, and another reason you can say why Allah Ta'ala has placed His love and mahbubiyat for those people who adorn and adopt the sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do so. As I say, this is just to kind of remind us of the need for it and the importance of it. Thereafter, everyone, we've mentioned also a practical model. Everyone needs to, inshallah, make an effort to do so. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala make us the most muttaqi of our time as well. May Allah Ta'ala make us grant us tawfiq to follow the sunnah in everything we do and for His pleasure and His pleasure alone. Inshallah, now we will conclude with the salat and salam upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are, as I mentioned before, these are 40 sighas, 40 forms of durood upon the Prophet ﷺ that are all established from authentic, mashallah, compilation of hadith. And whenever they're recited, then we are all making this dua together, that Allah Ta'ala, you know, of durood sharif. So we should keep that in mind, that our durood is going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is heeding it, he's responding to it, and subhanallah, in that we were getting his dua, and the nuzul of rahmah and mercy is coming down upon us as well. And inshallah, by keeping ourselves, because for dua, as I mentioned before, the only condition is that a person shows attention, is attentive to it. So inshallah, by doing so, we will, Allah Ta'ala give us all the barakah and the rahmah that reward us here, and Allah Ta'ala give us that strong connection to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنت المقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارضى عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت تبارك ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوصية والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي الذي وعدته وجزي عنا ما هو أهله وجزي أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمتي وصلي على جميع إخوانهم النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. تحيات الله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الله الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله. التحيات الله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الله زاكية لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. التحيات الله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله.
صلى الله عليه وسلم. We'll do dua after the adhan, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم رب اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من المأثم والمغرم اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا وادخلنا الجنة بغير حساب اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك نبنا وإليك المصير ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الكريم اللهم لا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا اللهم لا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا اللهم لا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا وأصلح ولاة أمورنا رب اغفر وارحم رب وتجاوز عما تعلم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم انجي إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة وفي فلسطين اللهم انجي إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي سائر بلاد العالم يا رب العالمين اللهم قاتل الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم شتت شملهم ومزق جمعهم ودمر ديارهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين